I'm going to read now from the Gospel according to Luke. A favorite story of yours and of mine. From Luke 15. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Gospel of our Lord. When I was going through files as I was packing things up, and this has been sort of a long process because I had a lot of files, I came across a package which had my ordination statement of faith and the sermon that I submitted to the ordination committee, the Committee on Candidates in Albany Presbytery. It happened that the sermon was preached on August 31st, 1969, and the date on the sermon and the exegesis of the Hebrew text for Psalm 8 was dated September 1st, the next day, which was my 26th birthday. And so I sent this off to the committee, and it worked. So I thought, it worked once, why not use it again? So this is the sermon, but slightly updated with a little more inclusive language than we used in 1969. And it is on Psalm 8 and Luke 15. And I'm preaching from a manuscript, which I haven't done in a number of years, so it might be a little awkward. When we were children and had to crawl up into a chair before we could sit down, the world was a very big, very awesome place. When we looked up at the sky at night, we would innocently ask, how many stars are there? And expect our parents to answer. We had a sense of wonder at the world. It was new, like a present on Christmas morning. And when humankind was much younger, a poet wrote about his or her feeling of amazement that God should care for us. In Psalm 8, the poet expressed a childlike wonder that out of all creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars, God should care for human beings. Though he or she didn't know the speed of light or the distance to the moon and had no real understanding of the immensity of the universe and could never have guessed that one day two men would walk on the surface of the moon as they did just last month. Still, the psalmist realized that the human being is utterly insignificant in the universe. The psalmist looked at the night sky and asked, "What is man that you remember him, and the son of man that you attend to him?" The psalmist knew that the human is nothing in comparison with the totality of creation, yet also knew that God had called Israel to be God's own covenant people. As wonderful as the creation is in itself, there is something more wonderful here. Out of all that is, God has chosen to value and love humanity. God values us not in comparison with the sun and the moon and the stars, but for ourselves as a parent loves her child, which we heard in Hosea and also in Colossians. No parent compares the value of his or her child to the value of a house. The child is infinitely valuable because the parent assigns her or him infinite value, the value called love. In the same way, the value we have in the eyes of God depends not on our achievements or abilities, but only on the value God gives us by claiming us as God's own children. So the psalmist looked at nature and found him or herself to be insignificant. If the psalmist had looked at human society as a whole, the same conclusion might have been reached. Within society, no one of us seems to count for very much. Every day we realize more and more how insignificant one human is in society. To the advertiser, sorry, Pete, or manufacturer, we are often a faceless mask of consumers waiting to be convinced that we need yet another product. To a politician, we are a block of voters to be wooed and won. And even to the church, we are sometimes seen more as potential contributors, future elders or deacons, possible Sunday school teachers, or souls to be saved, rather than neighbors and sisters and brothers in Christ to be served. When I was a young teenager, this has gone way back, and first dating before I met a certain Anne, which wasn't very long, you know, that was a short period, because she was 14 and I was 15 when we started dating. And we celebrated 50 years of marriage Thursday. My parents used to say, remember, about whoever this was, she isn't the only fish in the sea. Maybe your parents said that to you. They thought they were being very encouraging to me, but they thought there were plenty of girls around, but they only served to increase my self-doubt, because I knew I wasn't the only fish in the sea either. I was only one among so many, and my confidence disappeared. So we are not much in comparison to the whole of creation or the whole of society, but the wonder is that God has declared love to us anyway, calling us each one to be God's children. With the psalmist, we are shocked to discover that God loves us in spite of our insignificance. For to God, we are significant. God has made us significant by loving us. Like a parent's love for a child, God's love for us assigns us infinite value in God's eyes. God treats us, each one, as if we were the only fish in the sea. Is this not the greatest wonder in the world? God cares for us. So what is the human being? An insignificant accidental product of natural processes? If we look with the eyes of some scientific views, the answer is yes. But if we look with eyes of faith, we see God's answer. Humanity is the creature I love. I would like to suggest this morning that if we know what it means to be loved and valued for ourselves, we also know quite a bit about what the New Testament means by salvation and grace. Jesus, like the psalmist, would have us consider the wonderful quality of God's love for us. So he tells a parable, a story of a man who took his father's riches and squandered them on riotous living. And then when the money ran out, he found himself living with pigs and wishing he could bring himself to share their food. Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. It may be that he really repented of the evil he had done to his father. The phrase, he came to himself, according to the scholar Joachim Jeremiah, sometimes means he repented. Judging from the speech he made up to deliver to his father, Jesus, I think, wants us to know the son was mainly thinking of his belly. But he worked on the speech to get in his father's graces again. He knew his father's servants had enough to eat, and so he decided to plead for a servant's job. He walked home from the far country, dirty, barefoot, smelling like his most recent companions, the pigs. And as he went, he rehearsed his little speech, hoping to impress his father. But we read, while he was still at a long distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son started into his rehearsed speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father would hear none of it and would not let him go on to plead to be a servant. Instead, the father called his servants to bring the finest robe, the best one, and a ring, a signet ring, and sandals or shoes to put on his feet. He ordered the fatted calf killed and a great feast to be prepared for the celebration. For the father, as he said, felt, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. On the surface, the son had not changed. He still smelled like pigs under his fine robe. His hand was grimy under his ring. His feet needed washing more than they needed shoes. But in his soul, the son will never be the same again. He knows now the feeling of being valued for himself in spite of his sin and greed and wastefulness and the fact that he hadn't loved or trusted his own father. He knows what it is to be loved just for himself because his father chose to love him infinitely. Do we see a familiar face here? Have we looked in the mirror? Are we not like the prodigal, heirs to the wonders of creation, yet often squandering our wealth and God's creation foolishly? The creation is God's own estate, and if we are given to rule over sheep and cattle and the beasts of the field, in other words, stewards of God's estate on earth, how much more do we have responsibility for other human beings? But we've taken this trust and squandered it in riotous living. Not only have we poisoned the earth and the atmosphere, not only have we scattered our junk over the face of the globe until this earth is becoming a vast landfill, and also space, which was brand new at that time, but we've consistently worked harder to destroy our brothers and sisters than we ever worked to care for them. Our cities are too often pigsties and our villages not far behind. This is where we find ourselves this morning, prodigals all. So we also have a reason to ask in wonderment, what is humankind that you remember us, the Son of Man that you attend to him? But God is the Father in the parable. God remembers God's sons and daughters and has compassion on us while we are yet a long way off. God cares for us, not letting our sins or destructiveness or the smell of pigs distract. When God looks at us, God sees sons and daughters, not looking at our riotous living or unfaithfulness. As German theologian Helmut Thielicke has said, when God looks at the human, God sees the image of God that God placed there. When God looks at the human being, God sees the image of God that God has placed there. And so when God looks at God's sons and daughters, God disregards our worthlessness because to God, we have infinite worth. God bought us for an infinite price. As St. Paul wrote, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we look at Christ, we see God mirrored in the life of a human. When we look at Christ, we see the untarnished image of God, which God insists on seeing in us. What is man? The psalmist asks. The destroyer, the one who wastes the creation in riotous living, the one who destroys brothers and sisters with greater and greater efficiency. If you ask an honest person, the answer has to be yes, all of those things. But if you ask God by studying the parable of the prodigal son, God's answer is this: the human being is the creature I long to embrace and kiss as my beloved child. We look at the stars, and if we have even a little bit of that childlike sense of wonder, we are struck by our own insignificance, but I hope by the majesty of God who created all that is. What is more, we realize in humility that we have been blind to our responsibility of love as God's children, our responsibility to be stewards and caretakers of God's creation and each other. But like the returning prodigal, while we are yet a long way off, God has compassion on us and runs to embrace us. God wraps us in the robe of grace and gives us the kiss of forgiveness. And as the psalmist said so long ago, God regards us as only a little less than God's self and crowns us with divine glory and honor. This infinite free gift of love so changes our valuation of ourselves that we can never be the same again. We are new persons, a new creation, because of God's love for us. What is man? In Christ, God answered once and for all. The human is my beloved child, who though dead is alive again, who though lost is never lost to me. And our response is that of the ancient psalmist. We must cry out in wonder, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.